time to play the game.
Do you know who Triple H is?
Yeah, I love Triple H.
All right, awesome. And welcome to another episode of the Dynasty Trades HQ podcast, brought to you by the Dynasty Football Network and DynastyFootballFactory.com. My name is Michael Sipes. You can find me on Twitter at FFBlitz. And I'm here with my partners, Jeremy Broen.
Hey, gang. You can find me at DFF underscore Madman.
And Shane Manila.
I'm Shane. Find me at Data Don't Score Points. And just a reminder, that is not how I feel. That is done in a sardonic tone.
Yeah, and I think there's still some people out there that weren't aware of that little incident that happened on Twitter when
Shane's way of trolling the trolls.
Yes, and sardonic is a word. I just went ahead and Googled it to make sure. So I didn't just make that up. Hey, we got big news. Besides tonight's guest, we got a Facebook page.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and it's if you're looking for it, go ahead and look for it and go like it. It's Dynasty Trades HQ, all one word, and then the FB page. That's the name of the page, Dynasty Trades HQ, the FB page.
Yeah, and you know what's pretty cool about that? You know how you say all one word? We pretty much have to tell that to everybody with everything, with iTunes, with any of the podcast platforms, everything. It's all just one word, Dynasty Trades HQ. You know, I know
we're illiterate.
No.
Well, first of all, none of the three of us made up the name, so we're not illiterate.
Hey, patron, anyone that's looking to join our patron page, and frankly, everyone should, because it's awesome. We got a patron only league about to kick off. We got the group me chat. We got the exclusive bonus episodes, and then the uncensored episode of this show. So if you're wondering if I say fuck, you don't have to wonder. I say fuck on it. But also, I reached out to Patreon and I asked them, you know, why can't I find the Dynasty Trades HQ when I hit search? So first they emailed me back and said, we don't have anyone by this email account. Who are you?
Uh-oh.
And I said, okay, well, how about you try by Dynasty Trades HQ pod at Gmail? And then they said, oh, yes, we found you. Here's the issue. You have been labeled adult content.
Oh, no.
And apparently we didn't label that ourselves.
Oh, my gosh.
There's a review process where you can dispute that. So I'm wondering if I should, because does make you adult content? Because we're not talking about like
no
would make you adult content, right?
Well, first
like
of all,
we were describing the act of
seems like Patreon.
Yeah, first of all, we're not on Patreon right now. So
if I was describing the act of right, that is adult content to me. Saying the word fucking or fuck
you
is
definitely
not adult
have
content.
To cut this out, Sipes, and put this in the Patreon episode because he's never going to do it the same way again. So
no, I think
you have to do it.
I think it's funny too because the regular people are going to hear like bleep after bleep after bleep, going,
bleep,
"What
bleep.
The hell is he talking about?" But yeah, I definitely agree. There's no way it's adult content. It's just you said a bad word every once in a while.
I'll clean it up for the non-patrons because I'm sure they want to know what I'm saying. If I say the F word, I don't feel that's adult content. If I describe the F word, that's adult content. If I say, hey, Sipes, come here, because I'm going to...
Okay, wait. Okay.
He's going to go there, isn't he?
Then that's adult content. But anyway, so the whole moral of this story is we have a Facebook page. and quite frankly, I'm not really sure what we're supposed to do there. So right now, I'm just posting old episodes of the podcast. Not real old, of the patron episodes. I'm going to go ahead and post a couple free ones. I'm going to unlock them and jump on our Facebook page, and you can check out our patron episodes for free. And then go, you know what? These guys are awesome. Their patron episodes are the bomb. Let me go become a patron. But don't search for us on the patron page because you won't find us. What you got to do is...
Oh, my God. This is complicated.
We have the link.
Well, yeah. And
I'll tell you something. I agree with you. Everything that we're doing right now, this is great. However... knowing you like I do and hearing about this adult content, having worked with you, I think that's probably the way to go. Like, you know, leave it adult content just in case, Shane, because we never know where you're going to go. And it kind of covers our asses a little bit, you know?
Yeah. But also, you know what? On our Facebook page, I've decided a couple things.
What?
One, we want trade polls on there. So go on there and put up some trade polls, obviously. And if you're looking for leagues or looking to fill leagues, I think you should do that on there too.
Yeah.
We're going to be pretty much an open resource on the Facebook page because basically I don't know what you're supposed to do. So as most things in life, I don't know what to do. I'm just going to do whatever I feel like, or we're going to do, I should
I was going to say.
All three of us have admin rights. But I think it's good that we have some trade polls on there, definitely. I think we should have some looking for league stuff on there. And then, like I said, I'm going to post some patron episodes on there for free. For so the
if
masses.
I post something, if I post something via admin, am I posting it as Dynasty Football Factory's Dynasty Trades HQ, or am I posting it from my own personal Facebook?
No. You're still a separate human being. So you can do that as well. So what happens is,
my mom could weigh in on polls, assuming that I do it a certain way. But if I don't do it from my own account, then my mom won't know, and I'll actually be just
let's just share it with her.
The greatest part about all this is we are actually doing a show right now, and everybody is hearing the process of us talking about it, which was really funny because it was like 11 o'clock at night on Saturday. Shane goes, "Hey, I think we need to do a Facebook page," and we're like, "Okay," and everything all happened all at once. But, you know, speaking of the Patreons, one of the other things that's happening actually relates to our guest tonight. We have Scott Barrett on tonight, and we are part of a dynasty league with him and quite a few other people that are pretty interesting to talk about. And
the
with
DFB Invitational.
Right. And with the Patreons, though, with that Patreon chat you're talking about, we have been discussing every pick and everything that we've been doing in the draft with them. And a lot of the people in that chat say they feel like they're doing the draft with us. But you're right. What is the DFB Invitational anyways, Jeremy?
Hey, Scott Barrett just wanted to start a league. And, you know, with a bunch of, his friends and people that he'd never been in leagues before, really wanted to start his own dynasty league and commission it. And, you know, he decided to make it an invitational, took some interest from people, but then ultimately went with, I don't know how to say this, but just inviting people that he thought would be great to have in a league. And, you know, apparently he likes us, our podcast, and decided, you know, we need an official podcast. So let's get the Dynasty Trades HQ guys in here. And, you know, they can broadcast this content and compete with us. So, you know, it's just something that he's been wanting to do. You know, that's it. That's
and there's some other people in there.
There's actually
a few people that I've heard
other
of
people,
before,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a few people in the league. I don't know. You might want to name some of these people off. I think many fantasy football players, owners of teams will probably know some of these guys.
It's pretty funny. I was like softballing it to you like three different times.
Yeah, there's Bob Harris, who's been a guest on the show.
Love Bob. Yeah, Bob's
awesome guy. Obviously, Scott, who's been a guest on the show and will be again.
In a few minutes.
And he's co-owning with TJ...
Calkins.
I was going to pronounce that with the long A.
Yeah, I didn't want you to.
Yeah. It's just how I talk. You know what I mean? It's weird. It's the Philly thing. Graham Barfield. Let's see. Matthew Berry.
Yeah, you might have heard of him. Matthew Berry. The godfather, as it were.
There's Evan Silva.
You might have heard of him.
Daniel Kelly. Pat Thorman. It's pretty much a proverbial who's who of fantasy football and us.
And it's been
all
fun.
All the competitors are well-known commodities, and then they threw
Davis Maddock. I'm sorry. My apologies.
They threw us
Davis
in there
Maddock.
With those guys. I think it's cool, though. I mean, have you ever been among, like, rubbing elbows with a group of fantasy football folks like this? I mean, we have to give it our A-plus best effort, right, guys?
Yeah, and we've been doing a lot of trades. We've been doing a lot of moves.
I hate our team right now. I'm kind of wishing we didn't make so many trades now that I'm looking at what's left on the board.
I'm thinking
we should have set. Yeah, you know what? Like, I like our team, but you know that it's that FOMO. It's that fear of missing out.
That's
happening right now.
Because I'm like, if I would have just waited here, I could have this guy and this guy and then this guy and this guy. But you know what? You know, when the later rounds come up, we have a couple rounds where we have multiple picks and I'll feel better about life again. It's just missing out on a couple rounds right now. It's kind of breaking my heart.
Well, let's just tell everybody. We started strong with the four. Basically, we're four rounds in. We have four picks. We're without a couple picks coming up, but who do we have? I mean, we have a 25-ish average age, all studs, two quarterbacks, two wide receivers. Who do we got?
Let's see. We got that. What's that guy's name?
Well, we took Michael Thomas. We took
Deshaun Watson.
For quarterback wise. Yeah, it's a two quarterback league, or well, super flex, like you said. So we took Deshaun Watson and Jared Goff. And then with the wide receivers, we took Michael Thomas, and then we got Mike Evans in a trade. And what's funny, what you said, Shane, is that, yeah, maybe these guys would be here if we were still here. But, you know, if we never did those trades, you don't know what players would have been picked and things could have fallen differently. So there's nothing you could do. Once you've done the trades and once you've done the moves, you're all good.
I think Shane's happy with it. But, yeah, what's happening now is we see all these great players come off the board. But we have to remember that we have two top five quarterbacks and two top five receivers. And that's a hell of a way to start the first four rounds. I think we can afford to miss a couple picks, and I think some of the trades that we made really turned out in our favor.
Well, I was going to say there was
with that, and Shane was active with that.
Yeah, exactly. Even with the Mike Evans thing, we didn't give up much. But
I just wanted to let you know that I'm streaming this live on our Facebook page right now.
Oh, sweet!
So if you're listening to this podcast, go ahead and check out our Facebook page. But
wait. I was going to say, the people listening right now, if anybody sees it, well, you know what you could do? You could tweet it out right now. Tweet it out. Tell people, hey, we're doing the show live. Check out our Facebook thing.
I don't know how to do that. So,
you know how to tweet? You live on Twitter. What are you talking about?
Trades HQ.
Okay, Facebook while page. Shane reads out loud while he's texting.
I'll tweet it out right now. Keep going.
Okay, but what I was going to say was, we did some good trades. We were happy with it. People were commenting that they liked it. But right now, I think what we're going to do is we're going to hear from gtbets.eu, and we'll bring Scott in so we could talk to Scott about it, plus all the stuff that happened this past weekend with the Combine, and we have a lot of stuff to talk with him about, and about delaying it another day, just like last time we had him on as a guest. So let's hear from gtbets.eu, and then we'll have Scott.
Are you looking for some action on today's games? Then head over to gtbets.eu for all your sports betting needs. Get up-to-date odds covering all major sports. gtbets.eu is easy to use. Their simple registration process will have you placing your first bet in minutes. And if you register today, you can earn up to $500 of free money. Now that's a great reason to head over to gtbets.eu, an official sponsor of the Dynasty Football Factory. Simply add Dynasty Trades HQ in the referred by field to earn a 100% welcome bonus. gtbets.eu, it's game time.
And speaking about our startup draft, you know, when's a good time and what's a good thing to do after your startup draft, after you've drafted your team that you know is going to win that title?
Yeah.
You know what you should do, Mike?
I know what we should do.
You should go over to rotosurance.com, get 20% off your player insurance using the code DynastyTradesHQ, all in caps. Do that.
Like you're yelling.
That's what I'm doing after this draft. I'm going to go on rotosurance. And I'm going to sign up. And then I have an auction draft starting tomorrow that I'm also going to sign up some insurance, because it's better to have too much insurance than not enough.
Oh yeah.
My grandpa used to tell me that, and that's a life lesson for the kids.
So go to RotoSurance, which is RotoSurance.com. RotoSurance.com.
And we did have some injury news.
Oh, we did?
Yeah. Doug Baldwin. Yep. He got some surgeries on his shoulder and on his knee.
Ah,
So it makes a little more sense why he was struggling so bad last year, right?
Yeah. That guy's tough, man. Banged up and played as well as he did. I think Doug's going to be back play till he's about 40. I'm imagining.
Yeah. You know, one thing I every season, you know, it seems like every time someone struggles, it's written off either to they're young and or they were injured. And that whole injury thing doesn't matter to me unless you get surgery, because to me, you know, like there's injured and hurt, you know, lots of football players, they'll play through small injuries. But when a guy actually has to get surgery at the end of the year, it kind of clicks in your head like, okay, he was actually, I don't know, whatever term you want to use, but I'll say he was actually physically hurt. And that's why maybe, you know, that helps just leaps. That helps you understand why he performed so poorly last year.
Yeah, of course. It wasn't just a minor thing. I mean, he required two surgeries at the end of the season, and it shows that Doug Baldwin's a pretty tough cat.
Well, And then obviously the biggest one when you're talking about that is Todd Gurley. You know, everybody was questioning whether he was injured, whether he's hurt.
Did.
What was everybody? Yeah.
We
I mean,
knew something was up with Todd Gurley.
And now it came out this week about the arthritis in his knees. And you know, people were kind of, some people were panicking and throwing him out there, trying to trade him away. And other people were trying to grab him up. I mean, what do you think's going to happen with that situation?
Trade offer alert.
Trade offer alert?
You just ask a question and Shane interrupts it.
Well, I would hope that it has something to do with Todd Gurley or he's just blowing me off.
Completely about Todd Gurley.
Okay, so, good. Then that's fine.
I won't say who, but it was our guest last week who happens to be a female. She owns Todd Gurley in a league that we're in together.
Yes.
And she did offer him to me for the 1-1, the 1-2, and Royce Freeman. And normally I would have jumped all over it, but I looked at my roster and I said, this team isn't competing this year, and this team likely isn't competing next year. Do I really want to trade for Todd Gurley for, you know, 2 years of production? But by the time this team's really ready to make any noise, unless something unforeseen happens, you know, Todd Gurley will be 28. And who knows if he'll even have knees at that point. he needs the stem cell replacement. And there was, I think it was Roto World or somewhere I read, did a blurb about some of the past players that had had that done, like Sean Moreno. And I want to say Chris Johnson, but that might be wrong. But either way, it was a couple of older players, and they were able to gut it out for another season. But the other thing is Todd Gurley's got 1,200 touches on him already.
Yeah.
He's just 25 or 26. I didn't realize he had that. I mean, I knew he had a large workload. Jesus, he's really almost touches the ball almost as much as Zeke.
Well, people are saying that, you know, if they stick with CJ Anderson there, that they'll do, you know, a committee like every other freaking team in the league. So are you, I know it kind of sucks that way, but I mean, for me, I wasn't worried. I have him in a lot of leagues and I didn't try to move him because I'll stick it out a little bit longer and see what happens. So there's a lot of different offers flying around with Todd Gurley. And I know people sent us a lot of trade polls and what do you guys think? So that's why I was wondering, Jeremy, what do you think? What would you do with him?
Oh, I'm not getting rid of Todd Gurley. I mean, I'm not a running back proponent anyway. I prefer wide receivers, and in Superflex, you know, I like to stash quarterbacks. But yeah, I'm not trying to unload him now. I don't think it's the right time to do it. Todd Gurley's been an amazing running back, and I don't think he's done. And you know, I'm not going to get my money back out of him if I paid, you know, a high price, which most people did. So it's just not the time to get rid of him. I'm keeping him because he's a great back, and I don't really have him like you do in a lot of places. Yeah. I only have a couple shares of Todd Gurley.
This league that I've been with, Katie, if this team was better and I thought it had a shot of winning the title in the next 2 years, I'd make that trade 9 times on Sunday.
Yeah.
You mean to get Todd Gurley?
The trade that Katie offered him. You know, and do you think maybe it has something to do with this draft class too? Like, would you be okay to do it because people just aren't as happy? I mean, we're going to have Scott come in right now and we're going to talk about what happened in the combine this week and all this kind of stuff. But I did see a lot of people dumping picks all over the place, regardless of what the trades were. They were just trying to get the hell out of this draft.
No, I think it's a deep draft. But I think there's one or two stud players. And in Superflex, you're looking at Kyler Murray, N'Keal Harry, and I guess Dwayne Haskins. And if you're feeling a little dangerous, want to get a little frisky and risky, you draft DK Metcalf. But me personally, I'm staying away from Metcalf, and I'll grab AJ Brown instead.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's part of it. I mean, if it's next year's class with Travis Etienne and all the running backs of doom and some of the really good wide receivers that are going to be in that draft, like Bryan Edwards, I mean, then I'm like, no, I'll hold on to Edwards and whoever is the clear-cut number one running back next year.
But trade for Todd Gurley. I mean, that's the thing.
Definitely.
If people are trying to get out of him right now, you know, reactionary like that, I think they're overreacting at this point. And take advantage of that. Get Todd Gurley. Hell, I wish I had him in more places, to be honest. I mean, it didn't work out. You know, he's like the number one overall pick, and people wanted a lot of money for him. So get him.
Yeah.
I said, man, if that was a competing team, There's no way I turned down that trade. None at all.
Right. That, and that's why I had asked you about that. Okay, so we going to bring Scott in?
Yeah, I think we should do that.
Let's get Scott in, man. I like the guy. He's cool.
All right, so...
I'm very technologically advanced. I've created a Facebook page for us.
Yeah. I'm surprised, honestly. That's really good work.
It was pretty funny. And he does it live while we're on the air. But so, Scott, welcome to the show.
Yeah. Again.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And thanks for having us in your league that you designed. What actually is the DFB Invitational? Why'd you name it that?
I don't know. I just, I'm in... really only one other dynasty league that I'm obsessed with right now. I bailed out of a few others. And so I just wanted to have one with like a bunch of my friends, a bunch of like fierce competitors. And the demand I got for it was really exciting. Like I just sent out a tweet. I'm like, hey, who wants to be in a dynasty league? And I'm like, said yes to you. And then Matthew Berry was like, I'm interested. And I'm like, oh man, I'm kicking someone out for Matthew Berry.
That's awesome. So what is actually DFB? What is that?
So, I've been on Twitter for like 7 years. The past like 3 years have been awesome where like I have a ton of followers. So I could just tweet out the dumbest thing ever and get like a bunch of stupid comments on it. But my first 4 years, like I had like zero following, zero interaction. I just like wrote my articles, tweeted them out. No one read it. I went by the Twitter handle Dude Fantasy Bro, which stemmed from a night out of the bar with my buddy. My friend is a bartender. He's in my fantasy league, and we're just like, he's neglecting all of his customers. I'm neglecting my friend, and we're just like talking about fantasy football. And my buddy is just like drunk as hell. He doesn't know anything about football or fantasy football. He's like, dude, fantasy bro, no one cares. And I just like that name, so I just took it. But the problem is like no one wanted to follow a guy named Dude Fantasy Bro or take me seriously. So I switched it to Scott Barrett DFB, and then like within 3 weeks I had 10,000 followers. It was insane.
That's awesome. I was wondering about that, and a couple people asked me, because we actually have a lot of people just based on what we've been writing. Obviously we don't have 50,000 followers and stuff like you guys, but we've been talking about it, so a lot of people have been following along, especially our Patreons. They follow along and they feel like they're actually part of the draft with us. We've been talking with them and telling them what's going on and our thought process a lot of times.
So that's great. Actually, a few people have tweeted me out like saying like, I want more interaction about this league. It's so exciting. You guys need a officially designated league reporter. So like, hopefully that's what you guys can be. I know Steve said he would be willing to hop on this podcast, and hopefully you guys can get TJ and maybe a few of the other guys.
Cool.
I'd prefer to get everyone.
Everybody at some point, get TJ on here for sure.
I love to hear TJ's. you ask me certain questions and then ask those same questions to TJ, because we're gonna have like wildly different stories where we're just like one of those old married couples who like I blame everything on TJ, he blames everything on me.
Has it been working out good as you two guys as partners on a team?
So we've done this before, and we've always had like amazing success, because I really respect the hell out of him. I think he's like one of the sharpest dynasty guys around, and he's especially terrific at trades. Like I kind of just don't even handle trades, because like he almost always just pulls off these miraculous trades, and I'm just like flabbergasted and excited. I'm like, yeah, that sounds amazing. But actually this one's been particularly tough for us. So you guys want to hear the stories about our few round picks so far?
Yeah, absolutely, man.
All right, so first we took Patrick Mahomes at 107, and he was my 102. He was TJ's 101 in Superflex Dynasty. Remember, I said I want to be in this league for 20 years, so I felt amazing about that pick. And then Matthew Berry reaches out, and he's like, I want Mahomes. How can we make this happen? And I'm like, I'm just going to be honest. Like, it's not worth your time trying to have a conversation with us, because if we give you an offer, it's not going to be a fair one, just because like we're so enamored with him and this pick, and we feel really good about it. And he's like, really? So we can't have a conversation at all. And I'm like, all right, you could talk to TJ, cause he's my trade guy. And so like they're talking, I think they had a deal in place that was something like, Berry's first round pick, Berry's second round pick, and like a future first or whatever. Right. And then of course, you know, he's so busy at the combine. Like he's meeting with agents and teams and like I get that he's, you know, this is not a priority for him. So he was on the clock for like, what was it, 72 hours?
I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, that whole time he was at the combine, he was on the clock.
And we were all sitting back waiting. It was like 3 days. And so you're saying in that long pause of a couple of days where we're all waiting, you guys were actually negotiating as well as him being busy at the combine?
Hell of a deal.
Well, we had trouble like actually doing the negotiation part. I think TJ was wondering, like, is this a power play move by Matthew Barrett? No, he was just super, super busy. So we were talking, but we weren't really talking the trade. And he was like, I think as soon as it ended, he called up TJ. This is my mistake. Like, I don't know if you've ever met Matthew Barry, but he is legitimately like one of the nicest guys in the world. He's helped my career a tremendous amount when I was a nobody and like didn't even know who I was, didn't need to help. And he's also just insanely charismatic, like all the years on TV and radio. So whatever the trade was that like, I we had a trade in place and I'm like, TJ, I think this is a great offer for us. Let's just take it. He kept fighting for something else. And then after this, like sort of 30-minute conversation with Matthew Barry, you know, the offer shifts like wildly more towards Matthew's favor. So like, I shouldn't have left him on the phone with Matthew Barry. I should have known better, made it a 3-way call or something, but no, it was a really good trade. I think we did slightly get the better end of it though. Like I said, we really, felt great about Patrick Mahomes, but that's been another point of contention with me and TJ is he's very youth oriented. I know, yeah. I know one or two of you guys are very youth oriented, but I kind of prefer rather than having the 2020 picks, we have Siege's first and second, we have Barry's first and second, our own first and second. I would have rather had startup draft capital because I think that gives you more options, more flexibility. You can make moves, and now we're kind of locked into those picks. So I fought TJ on that, but you know, like I said, he is the trade guy, and he never steers me wrong. Even when I think it's a bad trade, it turns out to be an amazing one. So let him make that one deal with Siege, and then second round pick. I had to put my foot down. First round pick. We ended up taking with Barry's pick. We took Juju Smith-Schuster. I desperately wanted to trade down. I had a large tier of like 5 wide receivers where it was Odell Beckham Jr., Davante Adams, Michael Thomas, Juju Smith-Schuster, Tyreek Hill. And when I say like I had them all neck and neck, like literally all neck and neck. So I kind of let TJ take Juju. And the thinking there was, you know, Antonio Brown gone. Also, like he's so young. What is he, 22 years old? Yeah. So he's like 3 or 4 years younger than all the other guys. So I didn't hate it, but I kind of gave that one to TJ. Second round pick, I put my foot down. I want George Kittle. I want one of the big 3 tight ends. It's just like a massive edge in this tight end premium format. We're going to do this. So TJ gave in to me there because he didn't want a tight end. That's been a huge point of contention with us is like he's massively valuing quarterbacks. I'm giving a huge edge to tight ends and especially the big 3 tight ends. Like last year, you know, the difference between in tight end premium, the difference between tight end 3, who is Kittle, and tight end 6 was the same as the difference between wide receiver 12, who is Keenan Allen, and like wide receiver 43, who is Robbie Anderson. So just he gave in to me there. So third round, I give in to him. I think you guys see the message in the league chat where it's like he asked me, all right, value your next 5 guys. I had Le'Veon Bell 5th. I had Antonio Brown, James Conner, first and second, went the next 2 picks. Also Russell Wilson, who went after us. But we took Le'Veon Bell. And, you know, I think that's a risky pick. I don't love it, but I feel good about it, especially if he winds up in Tampa. And then in the 4th round, we got Carson Wentz.
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh. Yeah. The fact is, and Shane shook his head, you took Carson Wentz this afternoon, and you're the last pick that was taken. But ever since round 1, Shane has been asking Jeremy and I, he wants Carson Wentz. That's what he wanted with his first
Superflex league. I was overruled a lot, like to the point where I almost left our little thread, just our side thread.
Yeah.
Like I seriously debated going, you know what? you guys.
You know, the funny thing about it, Scott, you talk about you two guys work well together. This literally, we're the three of us are in a bunch of leagues together. We do a bunch of things together.
Really?
But this is the first time we've ever, the three of us together, did a team. And so we've been having, you know, with three people, you can have two against one. And it does seem to happen that every single...
You can have two against one a lot. Which...
It seems to me being Jeremy against Shane almost every single time. But I did think it was funny. We're getting ready for the show tonight. And I see, oh, hey, Scott May. Oh, he took Carson Wentz. Like,
I didn't even look. Now I'm like, I'm just heartbroken.
Did you just find out, Shane?
Second round. our second quarterback, Goff, we took the lesser. Wentz was the 101 this time a year ago at quarterback.
Did you just find out, Shane? Did you not see that till just now?
No. Oh. I can't fake rage. I can fake other things. You know what I mean? Like, I've learned things from my wife. But rage, not so much.
So welcome to a partnership life. It's a lot of compromise, and there's a lot of picks where me and TJ are both going to feel bad about it, but it's just like sort of how it, like he vetoes a lot of guys or whatever. And so Wentz was one of them. I think you're right. I think he was a great value there, but TJ kept trying to trade up for him. Like even right after the Le'Veon Bell pick. And I was like, no, we're going to wait. I have a strong tier here. I like Thielen. I like T.Y. Hilton. I like blah, blah, blah. We're going to wait. And he was so mad at me, and my DMs were just like him raging at me. And then like as soon as like Wentz was there for us, he sent me a message. Like I said, it was like a marriage. He's like, I'm sorry. I don't know why we always have to fight. Like, you're right. Wentz is there. But yeah, so we feel good. You can shoot us a proposal for Wentz, but I do feel good about that pick. Like you said, man, you know, like I'll have like an article out soon that I haven't published, but I have all the data. Mm-hmm. Wentz was amazing last year by depth adjusted completion percentage, which is one of my favorite stats. Is he was insanely accurate. He just got really unlucky with things like drops and whatever, but I'm excited about that team. Yeah,
Scott, I'm sorry. It's just really funny. I mean, even the coloring, look at how red his face is. His face is bright red right now.
Every time we draft a quarterback, he's like, "That's great, but Carson Wentz is better."
No homerism involved whatsoever. Mahomes is 101. Carson Wentz and Baker Mayfield are right below him for me.
So, listen, you know, we've spoke a lot about all of this. It's been really great. And it's really awesome that you invited us to be in this league. We're having fun, whether Shane's happy or not. We've been having a lot of fun.
If anyone ever leaves the league, I'll take over a team.
He wants his own team. But we did go into this thinking, you know, hey, this will be the first time the three of us are working together, and I think we can do this. But
hey, I don't even care how our team does now, because since Scott invited us to this league, I have Matthew Berry sending me trade offers on Twitter. When is that ever going to happen?
But, you know, you speak about the combine. You speak that he was there at the combine when all this was happening. But a lot of people that are listening to the show right now want to know what we thought about the combine, and especially what you thought about the combine. Mm-hmm. So when you guys were just talking about the 101 with Patrick Mahomes, who is your 101 out of this rookie draft class after what happened this weekend at the combine?
So I'll just say for a super flex league, it's easily Kyler Murray, who put together like one of the best, most efficient seasons by a rookie passer in the past like 5 years. I think only Baker Mayfield's 2018 comes close, although Baker Mayfield was amazing all those years. Really have a one season sample with Murray, but you know, I like him as a runner. He's hyper efficient as a passer. And then after that, I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't done enough research yet. I have an article coming out next week looking at all the wide receivers, running backs, quarterbacks, tight ends who pop statistically mm-hmm. by the metrics that matter most to me, and including, you know, combine performance, which really doesn't matter too much. I mean, it does for someone like DK Metcalf, but outside of that, it doesn't matter too much. So I'm not knowledgeable enough to really give a full take. There are a few guys who pop out to me we can talk about, but you know, I'm still a good ways away.
Well, Metcalf, we might as well talk about him since everybody lost their shit over his 40 speed, which was, I think, slower than Brashad Perryman's. Not really sure why I keep comping him in my head to him. But
Probably the lack of production and...
Yeah, exactly.
And the speed.
Kevin White, that's right. They're all the same guy. But not to bias this, so do you think his combine performance was enough to overlook his lack of collegiate production?
So I think NFL teams will think that, and I think they're going to draft him in the first round. And I think, you know, if you're a first-round wide receiver, your chances of success go up dramatically because, you know, they're not going to want to look foolish. They're going to, you know, give you playing time because of that. So the combine, yeah, it was freakish. It was otherworldly. You know, the thing about a 40-yard dash is you need to, like, the best way to look at it, especially for wide receivers, is adjusting it based on weight. And if you give them a weight-adjusted 40 time or a speed score, it's right up there, right behind Calvin Johnson, right ahead of Julio Jones in the top three. That's ridiculous. Andre Johnson, Vincent Jackson, they're up there too. So those are some great comps. And then you look at the three cone, and it's one of the 25 worst three cones since the year 2000. So you have the speed score, which is one of the best, or the second best since 2000, of like over 1,000 or 500 qualifying, whatever it was. I tweeted out. You can check it out. And then three cone, which is one of the worst. And what this does to me is it shows us who he is. I think he's, you know, if we want to look for a comp, it's not Calvin Johnson. It's not Julio Jones. It's someone like, you know, a faster, stronger, but not necessarily less, not necessarily more agile Mike Evans. And so, like, that's a guy who, you know, effective as a deep threat for sure, can run in a straight line pretty good. But, you know, he does nothing after the catch every single year. And I kind of think that's who he is. And I think, you know, he might be stiff-hipped, you know, and it could make him like a not, or maybe it negatively impacts him as a route runner. And he's just a guy who runs the nine. And then what else can he do? Nothing
exactly
otherworldly. But yeah, he's not a target for me. I'm probably not going to have very many shares, if any at all.
Is there anybody that's a target for you? I mean, I know we mentioned the quarterback, but I mean, any of the position players.
So I did more research than not on running backs. So we'll say wide receivers. I like Andy Isabella a lot relative to Buzz, or sure. But I don't know. Now he's gaining in Buzz, but I do like him. Think he could be a talented receiver in this league. Honestly, borderline first round pick per a lot of PFF guys I really respect. And then running backs. So Josh Jacobs is the guy everyone is enamored with, but it's kind of worrisome to me that he didn't see really that much volume at all. And, you know, if he's as good as everyone's saying he is, then why didn't he see good volume? Why is he basically seeing backup numbers? I like James Williams quite a bit. You know, he's getting comp to James White, and I actually like that a lot. I wouldn't be shocked if he ends up in New England, but, you know, unparalleled receiving production, a ton of missed tackles forced per reception, really high grades. Even his rushing production was really good. Especially if you look, he's really good at shedding tackles. The knocks on him are that he kind of, you know, initiates contact too much, which might make sense, but at the same time, he was really good at shedding those tackles. Also, the system kind of didn't ask him to run really highly complex routes. It also, it was really easy on him as a receiver, and that plays out in the stats. I think that's true, but still, like, based on Buzz, I love him. I think he's going to be one of my guys, quote unquote, my guys, who Kareem Hunt was a few years ago. Christian McCaffrey was my 101 that year, whatever. David Montgomery, I like a lot. That's a guy a lot of people like. Brutal combine. All these guys, brutal combines. You know, PFF superstar, ton of missed tackles forced. Only running back with over 100 missed tackles forced in any season in the PFF college era. And he did it in both 2017 and 2018. The guys who ranked third were Dalvin Cook and Kareem Hunt in 2016. He did this with one of the worst run blocking teams in the NFL. So he created a ton of these yards on his own. I think he's an okay to good receiver, unlike the next two names we'll talk about. Devin Singletary.
I love that guy.
and Daryl Henderson, just either really, really good at yards after contact or missed tackles forced. That's despite, you know, either a tough strength of schedule or a poor run blocking unit. So I like those two guys, and those are really the running backs I'm keyed in on right now.
Hey Scott, Miles Sanders is a guy that Jeremy likes. I like him a lot, and he had a good combine. Is that anyone that you've kept an eye on or looked into at all? Now, I know obviously his production wasn't there, but he did run behind God in college, so you know he was, you know.
So I'll say Williams, Montgomery, Singletary, Henderson, and then Jacobs based on, you know, where people think he's going to go. I named those guys for a reason. That's because I spent, you know, a day just looking, combing through all the numbers, looking at it under per attempt, per touch, per whatever, or just raw volume. And those are really the guys who stood out. And if they're not mentioned, it's because they didn't really impress me. But yeah,
I like that you said that. I mean, those are the guys that I like. That's a group of guys that I like better than most. And it's funny because you hear about Jacobs a lot, and you hear about, you know, Miles Sanders. You hear about these same players, and people really love them. I mean, it's like, I don't want to say everyone, because that's, you know, but a lot of people are just high on those backs. And I like other running backs better in this class, but it's just so weird. There's like this giant list of like 15 running backs, and it's hard to, you know, separate them into tiers and into groups. I mean, I've changed my mind a bunch, but those guys that you just mentioned, Singletary and a chunk of those guys, those are high on my list just because of what they did in college, coupled with metrics. I mean, I don't, you know, the combine, you know, notwithstanding, but I'm just not as high on some of the backs that other people are. And I'm thinking maybe I'm looking at things wrong. And so that's comforting to me that you say that.
Yeah, I mean, it's really early in the process. Like, I haven't even watched tape yet. What I do is I just, like, give my best statistical analysis possible. And then the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, you know, just watching nonstop tape.
To separate the guys and further rank them. That's how I like to do it, too.
And also give more context to the stats and explain things. But then, and then after that, it's landing spot. And that's really when everything shakes. Like, it's so, landing spot is so, so important.
For backs especially, yeah.
I mean, what's interesting about the DFB Invitational is the rookie draft comes before the NFL draft, so I think that's an interesting wrinkle.
I like that you did that.
Yeah, your analysis is a little more important, I think.
Actually, how is that going to work in the DFB? How is the rookie draft going to work?
So you draft...
we're going to draft players? No, I'm just kidding.
Well, no, the reason I asked this... Uh-huh. Go ahead. You're saying that the rookie picks are in the startup draft, correct?
So yeah, right now, if you wanted to draft the 2019 101, you can do that with your next pick, and or the 102, 103. But you're going to see it go all the way down to the fourth round in consecutive order. And then the rookie draft is going to take place maybe 2 weeks before the actual NFL draft. So you're kind of going in blind. You don't know necessarily if, you know, Kyler Murray is going to go with the first overall pick or the 10th. You don't know which team. So I just think that makes – I like it because it weights your actual analysis on the players more so than – and it's like we did that – so the Zeke Elliott year, we did that, and I drafted Zeke Elliott 101, like obviously. And then he lands in like the perfect landing spot in Dallas, and you're just like freaking out. So it's fun. Like some guys
– I like that too.
Like Dallas Goedert, who like I'm enamored with, he – you know, when he went to Philadelphia behind Zach Ertz, I was like so disappointed. So you can get burned or, you know, it could work out well for you. But it's just fun. It just makes the draft that much more.
And if you did great, if you did great research and you have a good solid list of the top players, I mean, the cream is going to rise to the top. And that happens with wide receivers, too. We've noticed over the years, you know, you don't have to wait so long. In fact, we had this discussion last year, like James Washington. Well, you were on the show. And we had some talks about that, too. But James Washington going to Pittsburgh seemed like a terrible place. And then, of course, it worked out, and he's a great wide receiver. And now suddenly, you know, he's on a team where he's one of the starters. So, you know, you really do have to focus on the players as you have them ranked.
Is he one of the starters? Spot
matters. What's that?
Is he one of the starters, or is it just, you know,
unless, of course,
Ryan
you know.
Switzer show? No, not yet.
That'd be great if Pittsburgh just went ahead and drafted DK Metcalf. That'd be hilarious.
Well, the reason I asked you about the picks and how it works in that draft is we are now like almost going into the fifth round and nobody has taken a rookie pick. And typically in the last couple of years, every time, okay, well, it's too late. We're already talking about it. Typically in the last couple of years, when you do a startup, like the 1.01 usually goes in the second, third round, something like that. So what I was going to ask you, and I was going to ask all three of you, after the lackluster of what's been going on for months, then what just happened with the combine, and even when you ask a question to you and you say, well, I haven't done this, this, or this, it seems like everybody in the entire community is just so not that into this draft class. Right. So does something like our draft really put a spotlight on the fact that people don't really care as much this year as they have had in the past?
I think that definitely could be the case. I actually like this draft. Like, I went into it thinking the running backs are going to suck. But I actually like a lot of these running backs. And I think there's some wide receivers who are going to surprise a lot of people. I'm hearing there could be as many as like seven day one, day two wide receivers. You know, there's three tight ends I really like. And then, of course, like Kyler Murray 101. I stand by that. Fortunately, TJ has a veto on him, but I think he's probably the next quarterback that should be taken in this draft is going to be the 101 pick.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I don't think that it's a bad draft at all. I think there's a little less clarity than in years past. And we actually did a rookie mock in on DFF yesterday. I think we knocked it out in like 6 hours or something. Apparently nobody was getting any real work done.
and it was posted already, right? This morning.
Yeah, and it was published today. And going through this, there's guys in the third round, depending on landing spot, that I still really like. And obviously it's super flex. But like, we had Paris Campbell in 211. Way before that, there's AJ Brown, who went to the combine and showed people that he's not slow, because apparently that was a fear. Hakeem Butler, who's a fucking giant, went out there and just blazed. If you're worried about someone's speed score, like, don't, not the physical freak that never played on Saturdays, you should look at Hakeem Butler, because that guy actually played and produced in college, and he fucking blazed. So there's plenty of good guys in this draft. It's just there might not be that clarity. Like, there's Kyler Murray at 101 in super flex. Yeah. There's N'Keal Harry at 102. And then,
my guy.
Then it's all right. Well, AJ Brown, like, for me, I'm taking AJ Brown there.
You know, it's funny. We've always said that there's these three different tiers. There's the beginning of the off season where everybody's trying to do something with the picks. Then there's the combine where kind of some things get into focus. And then there's the draft. And really, the draft is the thing that matters the most. It seems like with this draft class, the fact that it's all over the place, do you think everybody's going to start scrambling after the real NFL draft happens? I know with DFB, we're going to be doing it before that, but most leagues do their rookie drafts after the NFL draft. So if you're saying, Scott, that there are players in this draft class that are good, it seems as though then all the people that are laying back and waiting right now, as soon as that draft happens, then there's going to be a lot of movement in the dynasty community with trading to get picks to get some of those players. Do you believe that's going to happen? Or do you think people are still going to be like, ah, forget it, I'll wait till 2020?
So right now I know the buzz on 2020 is just ridiculous. So I don't really know, like, TJ, you know, it just keeps fighting me for these 2020 picks, and I can't even name more than like four guys who I know would be, you know, potential first round picks next year. But, it's going to be the same thing as every year, but I think to a larger extent this year, where, you know, all these guys like me, all these experts put out rankings where it's like, well, here's my top 15 rookies. And then the draft happens and you're just like, oh my God, this looks so bad. Hold on. Like,
this is terrible.
Redo this. But you know, it depends on what you need. I think there's one quarterback I like, another one who's going to be a starter, maybe two, three tight ends I really like, you know, a bunch of running backs. But the thing with the running backs is there's no bell cow. There's no Saquon Barkley. And that hurts. That's not good. And then wide receivers, I do think there's a lot of wide receivers to get excited about. And I wouldn't even put DK Metcalf necessarily in the top three.
Well, Well, you know, you've been on the show before. So one of the things we talk about on the show is we go through some trades. We have listeners that send us trades, and Shane does a lot of trades, and then we go over the trades. So if you don't mind sticking around with us, we'd like to go over some trades and stuff and see your opinion on some of the things that we did.
Yeah, let's do it.
Hey, real quick, though, before we do that, I just I don't know why, but I have like this intense dislike of Metcalf and this like hard on for A.J. Brown. So they played one season where both of them basically played the full season together. Mm-hmm. And if you look at their stats, A.J. Brown eviscerated them. He had 75 receptions to Metcalf's 39, 1,252 yards to 646, 11 touchdowns to 7, and actually had 16.7 yards per catch compared to Metcalf's 16.6. So I'm just, I guess it confuses me, the infatuation with Metcalf.
Metcalf guys always cite, well, he missed a lot of games. Look at the games he played in and how his stats shook out. They were closer to Brown, and Brown played in the slot and got the love in that offense because they ran the offense through him, and Metcalf still almost kept up with him. But then you look at DeMarcus Lodge, who's like basically keeping pace with Metcalf on the, you know, on the other side. And you're like, you know what? It really, I don't know. It's like they talk out of both sides of their mouths, but I'm just not really confident in that guy. But yeah, I want to know how Scott feels about the fact that Brown eviscerated Metcalf in stats.
So he really did. I keep getting AJ and Marquise Brown mixed up, but the stat kind of works for both of them. One of my favorite stats I invented was depth adjusted yards per target.
Yep.
Over expectation, which is just like based on where your targets are coming from, we can build out like what your expected yard should be and then how above or average you were at exceeding or falling below that. And both Marquise Brown and AJ Brown rank top five in depth adjusted yards per target over expectation over the past 5 years. And then if you look at like the top 15 on that list, it's all guys who are in the NFL right now, like not necessarily, you know, the all-stars, but, you know, Taywan Taylor, Corey Coleman, Kiki Kuti, Cooper Kupp, Corey Davis, Sterling Shepard, so Amari Cooper. So, like, that's really exciting. And yeah, like, I'm kind of a production guy. Every year there's multiple prospects who it's like, all right, well, he stunk in college. Production wasn't good. The coach thought the other guy was better. He gave him more snaps. But he's athletic, so let's try and fix him, and we'll turn him into a star. And, like, how often does that happen?
Yeah, we've been
not
burned.
Often. Yeah, there's so many Jeff Janises to every, you know, one guy that works out for.
Great analogy.
I've said this before, I'll take Metcalf if he falls to the bottom of the first because of the, you know, boom potential, but he's not going to.
No, the way people are acting. I mean, again, it's all going to matter with the draft, though, so you never know at this point.
In a non Scott Barrett league that we're in. Yeah, we're in together, us three. Ultimate Podcast Dynasty League. I own the 101, and
You own it. That's a podcast league, Scott, that we didn't know about. Yeah.
Shane uses our podcast, and then we find out, like, after the season, he's been in it all year, and it's, you know, for the podcast, but it's only Shane.
And Jeremy, like, he just said he even
with him because he wants to take, you know.
Yeah, I don't like sharing.
He just said, I have the 101, not the 101.
Collectively, we have the 101.
You said
we don't really need a quarterback, although we might because we have Josh Rosen, which I would think it's pretty funny. It's a super flex. It would be pretty funny if we drafted Kyler Murray to replace Josh Rosen, too. But I really just want to draft N'Keal Harry at 101, and I'm trying to convince Tyler Guenther to trade me the 102 for basically anything so I can draft them both, and that ginger bastard just won't do it.
Well, you know what? Let me here. You always yell trade alert. Shane, yell trade alert.
Oh, trade alert.
Okay, there you go. You just mentioned Josh Rosen, and Scott, you've mentioned quite a few times that Kyler Murray's is the top, at least quarterback-wise. There's a lot of talk in the real NFL community that he could be the 101. And Arizona has the first pick in the draft. And then there's a lot of talk about that possibly they'll trade away Rosen and all this kind of stuff. So I actually did a trade with our very own LJ at Pacific Scouting with the Devi Watch, which, Shane, tell everybody about the Devi Watch.
The Devi Watch is awesome. if I didn't get it for free, I would pay for it. It's that good. Some of the free stuff I get from people is just dog shit, but this isn't. The Devi Watch is really good. If you want to know about the 2020 class, the 2021 class, I didn't get this far. I think the 2022 class, if you really want to go bananas.
How do they get it?
It's actually good for college fantasy football, which I just started playing last year with one of our guests in the future. And I was pretty bad at it. But I'll read the Devi Watch this year, and I'll be better at it.
How do they get it?
They pay for it. They got to go buy it.
Tell them to go to our website.
There's a link.
Say it again.
Go on our website, dynastyfootballfactory.com, and then look for the Devi Watch link.
Okay, so Scott.
Or just DM me, and I'll send you the link. I don't care. I'm an all-day store.
That sounds good. So, Scott, so what happened was LJ sent me a trade offer during the combine and with all that talk, and he had sent me, I don't remember, I think it was like Kenny Stills in the 105 for Josh Rosen, and then I countered him Dante Pettis and the 105 for my Josh Rosen. I have three other quarterbacks. I have Breeze, I have Rivers, and I have Carr. So, and that league I also won last year, so I don't even have a first round pick. But so what do you think about that? I traded away Josh Rosen. I got Dante Pettis in the 105.
I prefer Dante Pettis in the 105 probably. I just feel really good about Pettis and his potential. I know when I did my dynasty rankings, I had him way higher than whatever ADP was. Also, like adding the 105 to that, and like you said, you're stacked at quarterback, so you don't really need it. There's a chance Josh Rosen, you know, doesn't even play a snap next year. I don't think that's likely, but there is the chance of that. Also, you know, he wasn't good last year, and he had Kurt Warner and an NFL GM say, yeah, I'd trade a third round pick for him, but that's about it. That's what he's valued at. I think he's worth a little bit more than that in NFL terms. But yeah, I think that's I'd say you probably won that trade, 60-40.
Shane, what did you think? Because I saw you shaking your head.
I'm just thinking that two of your quarterbacks are almost as old as me, so they're pretty old.
But Philip Rivers isn't going anywhere, right? He's not going to end this year.
He's got 14 kids at home. I wouldn't want to go back either.
No, I'm just saying, I'm not like worried about age.
Who are your quarterbacks?
Philip Rivers, Derek Carr, and Drew Brees. Drew Brees. And I won that league last year. It's also an IDP league. It's a big depth of a roster.
How did you win in the league last year have anything to do with this trade?
Because I don't give a shit about what's going to happen 4 years from now. I'm going to win again next year, and I'm going to win the next year.
1 year from now when Brees retires.
Okay, and then I'll figure out something else. Or with the 105.
So the thing about quarterbacks is so in this draft, like a big point of contention with me and TJ is he wants young quarterbacks. I actually want old quarterbacks because the thing with quarterbacks is they don't age like running backs, wide receivers.
Exactly.
They can play into their early 40s, and especially now with more and more rules coming out to ensure that is the case, you know, roughing the passer penalties got called like 40% more than any other year in NFL history last year. So I think these guys are going to have longer careers. So I if I could have, Philip Rivers, Tom Brady in round 10 versus, Josh Allen in round 4, like what the of course I'm going to take I think Tom Brady is going to outlast Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson as a starter.
There you go.
As ridiculous as that sounds, but like, he's good. The other two, I don't know if they're good. I like the idea of actually, getting the value. I'll never forget actually Jeremy in the league that we were in like 4 years ago, or maybe like 5 years ago.
I traded
a second round pick for Ben Roethlisberger, and the guy was like, "Yeah, I want him off my team. He's going to retire soon."
And that was five years ago.
Here we are. Come on.
6 years later, he's still on the
second round pick. Yeah. So I like getting old quarterbacks.
Yeah. So I interrupted you, Shane. But so what was your point? You were saying that two of my guys were old. You were saying that. So were you saying that you didn't like the trade?
Point.
Well, I'm
sorry. So you had Derek Carr or David Carr, whichever one's playing in the NFL. He's not very good. Drew Brees. I know that quarterbacks can play especially now. They do play into their 40s, but Breeze has been flirting with retirement for at least the last 3 years. Like, that guy wants a reason to retire. Like, if his family life was any good, he would just retire. Like, he just
clearly the NFL doesn't want him to retire, so they keep him from the Super Bowl so that he can keep playing. That's what we all
that's true. Maybe next year. No, I mean, it's fine. I like Dante Pettis. I mean, the 1-5 and a super flex, you're going to get a very good player. You could get probably the first or second best wide receiver in this draft in AJ Brown.
Right. So, all right. So what are the Shane, it says here you had a trade that you gave up something. You want to talk about it?
This is funny, though, because I didn't even realize one of the pieces in the trade. But after last week's episode where I was like, you know, we were talking about how I send offers and then sometimes forget to see what's in them.
Yes.
Offers.
Yeah,
yes.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. So this was one of those trades. So for some reason, I didn't realize it, but I offered Rashad Penny and the 104 for George Kittle.
The reason I'm laughing, and
the 104.
What was it that you didn't realize? What was it you
Penny.
Didn't realize?
I didn't realize Penny was in there.
Who cares?
I was just gonna say, who cares about Penny?
Yeah, the 104 for Kittle,
exactly.
Okay. I mean, I like Penny. I still have high hopes for Penny.
Okay.
Look, like Pete Carroll never lied to us and said that there's going to be a 1-2 punch this year. So,
no, you know, it's funny. We all, for a change, we all agree with your trade. And it's funny, you are the one that didn't like your trade, but the rest of us.
I don't know, man. But the
rest. I mean, it's a 1-4 in a single QB league. Yeah. So, you know, he's going to get someone good. But I'm with Scott. Like, and I wrote an article basically stating, I don't give a fuck. I am overpaying for tight ends now.
Yeah.
Rookie drafts, if Noah Fant's sitting there at 108, there's a pretty good chance I'm drafting him. If TJ Hockenson's floating around at 110, 111, yeah, I might draft him too. And George Kittle, Travis Kelce, Zach Ertz, I'm still overpaying for those guys. And I'd still stash Dallas Goedert because Doug Peterson said they're going to run more 12 personnel this year.
Good. That's how I start. I like to have tight ends and quarterbacks, though, usually wide receiver, running back last. But the thing is, it's funny because you wanted Carson Wentz on our team. You're maybe not. These aren't your favorite players. But I wouldn't have a team like this if it were just me drafting in the, you know, the DFB Invitational, Scott's League. I would have a different team. I think Sipes would have a different team. But the compromises that we made, we have four studs, and they're under 26 years old, every one of them. So, I mean, it could be worse. I think we, you know, teamwork makes the dream work. I think this team is going to be a good team, and I think we'll be happy with it, and it's something that we ordinarily wouldn't have, which makes it interesting in and of itself.
Yeah, I don't remember if we talked about this on air or not because I don't really pay attention. But I was saying, you know.
Or listen to the show.
And we've been talking for an hour and a half. So
yeah, and we've been talking for an hour and a half. And I'm pretty drunk. It's more after the draft's over, I'll look at the team and I'm sure I'll be like, I like this team, or I really like this team. It's just right now watching other picks go off the board and it's like, oh, I want that guy.
Everybody's in the same boat. It's cool. I don't think anybody's like accustomed to the way this is shaking out. I don't think.
Graham is.
Graham's like, this is exactly how I predicted it.
Exactly. No, it is like, it couldn't be any more perfect than what has happened. And I looked at his team and I'm like, all right. Fair.
I could not drop out of the first, which is I'm always out of my depth when I can't trade back. Like I start to get a little rudderless because I hate drafting in the first round. If I had my absolute druthers, I wouldn't make a pick until the third round. But
well, the other problem we have, Scott, we do a listener league and it's a 16 team super flex. So when you're in a 16 team super flex, it's impossible to get a quarterback if you don't have one. So when we're sitting here against you guys, where some people are quote unquote, oh, big deal people, we want to make sure that we had two quarterbacks that we're not going to be scrambling to start Eli Manning, you know?
Mm-hmm. Scott Barrett and the League of Big Deal People.
Okay, I'm sorry. Listen, I didn't mean that as an insult to anybody, but I'm just saying we had an idea that we, the three of us talked about to try to make sure that we're not starting Eli Manning or the Red Rocket or something like that. Sure. You know,
I'm gonna tell you right now. I don't think a lot of the league is valuing quarterbacks. And I don't care if we have to draft 13 of them to make everybody learn that lesson.
Yeah.
We're going to draft. Right. That's all we're drafting from here on out. Because here's the thing. I work at a desk, and my phone's pretty much attached to me. So as soon as that draft alert comes through, boom, quarterback.
It's true, though. Well, that's a great point. The quarterbacks have definitely slipped farther, you know, further than they normally do in
it's an expert league. It's an expert league, so you should have seen that coming, because for years it was just like anytime you took a quarterback somewhat early, super flex or not, you would get like made fun of by all the other experts. It's like, come on, don't you know who JJ Zacharyson is or like whatever? But so like I that's something I said to TJ about like why we shouldn't try and desperately to grab Carson Wentz or Baker Mayfield in round two. It was just you know, quarterbacks going to be there. Everyone's going to devalue them. We'll get them eventually.
You'll get the value. Yeah.
But I'm not saying that that's right. Like, I'm not saying Carson Wentz shouldn't have gone 9 picks sooner. I think maybe he should have, but it's just what happens in these leagues.
Can I ask you something then, what you just said? Because there are people that are listening to this show that obviously are not in leagues with quote-unquote experts or anything like that. But you just...
I don't think you have to do quote-unquote.
Like, yeah, yeah, I know. Experts. You always tell me that about quote-unquote, but whatever. But, I mean, do you care what other people think about your pick in a draft? Like, you just said it. You're like, when you're against experts, you don't want them to say something about your pick. If it's your team and your draft, what do you care what anybody else says about your pick? Do you care, really?
So I don't. I'm sure I did like 2 years ago, but I'm just at a point where I don't care. And like, I like trash talking anyway, so it's fun to go back and forth. But I think there is like a subconscious, you know, sort of bias that could bleed into effect. Like, you know, you do know if you're gonna, like, let's say we took Mahomes, Luck in the first two and like no one else took a quarterback, you can feel kind of like, uh-oh, like, was that right? And like, I'm getting trashed right now. Like, are they just messing with me or what? But no, you can't think that way. You gotta just do what's right, what you think is right every pick. Don't worry about what other people think, just like anything else in life.
Absolutely, because I could care less what anybody thinks about what I pick in a draft.
You want to hear something funny? Because, you know, when
we don't have time to worry about it. The three of us trying to agree.
Well, but that's what I'm saying.
Shane, so he's probably going to give it to you the worst.
Yeah, he's the biggest critic we have.
Well, the best part of all that, and Shane's going to hear it right now, Shane, but Jeremy and I were talking about one of the picks, and Jeremy's like, Shane's going to be really mad. And what I said to Jeremy, I said, okay, Shane will be really mad, but then a few minutes later, he will be on to the next trade, and he will forget that he was mad about the pick that we did. And that's what we did. We did the thing. You were upset, but then you went on and did like 15 trade offers to everybody, you know?
That's what life's all about, man. You just got to push through and keep shooting for the stars or some other motivational bullshit. I don't know.
This might, in fact, be the best startup draft you've ever had, Shane. When we look back on this, and you're like, man, I've never been in a startup draft and ended up with a team so strong. How did this happen? I don't have to trade at all.
Wildly incorrect. But, I'm going to send some startup draft information over to Scott tonight and see if he could get in. Give me some metrics on that to prove that's wrong.
Well, hey, so listen, Scott, like we just made a joke a few minutes ago, we've been talking for a long time right now. So do we have any more trades that you want to throw out there, Shane, before we wrap everything up?
No, I just think here's a fun one. I got absolutely destroyed on Twitter. And this goes back to your whole, like, I could give a shit what people think.
Absolutely.
But so I trade it, and it's a super flex league, of course. But I traded Chris Godwin for DJ Chark, obviously, and the 110. And the Twitter poll on that, it pretty much like came back like an hour and a half later. It was like, you don't want to see. Like, it was that bad. It was like, I didn't even add it. It was like 70-30. I got just destroyed.
Really? They said keep Godwin?
Oh, yeah. Dude, like, dude, Godwin's, you know, Godwin's a
fantasy darling. Everyone's enamored with him. So I don't disagree that you should try and sell him, but I think you could have got more than DJ Chark and whatever that pick was. I do think he's going to be productive this year. It depends on what they do with Adam Humphries, who I actually like. You know, if he's gone, I could see it being like DeSean Jackson, Mike Evans, Godwin, as sort of what we saw from Larry Fitzgerald, John Brown, Malcolm Floyd, that year where like all three of them were borderline 1,000-yard receivers. in this Bruce Arians offense. But I think you could have got a little more. I don't think it's the end of the world, and I'm actually lower on Chris Godwin than most people.
Yeah.
I think it was the DJ Chark was the most offensive part of that trade to everybody. I mean, the guy was a rookie last year. He's a second-round draft pick. I was looking at draft capital. I'm like, Godwin's at third. He hasn't hit yet. Yes, it's only been two seasons. But if Adam Humphries comes back, Bruce Arians has pretty much done everything but sent, like, a love letter to DeSean Jackson to convince him to not leave Tampa Bay. Like, we do not want to cut you. So that just makes me wonder how much run Godwin's going to get this year. And then they got Justin Watson still waiting in the wings.
I actually like the fact that you got the 110. If you do good work with that, if you get a player you need to get a player that pans out and he'll be better than Godwin.
I guarantee you. I turn that into AJ Brown because nobody likes him for some reason.
Yeah,
love the guy.
See, fall that far, is he?
Well, he may. Yes. You never know. Really? You don't know what'll happen with the real NFL draft, and you really don't know, like he says. But it is the kind of trade where if you're happy with it, that's what really matters, you know, because you have your valuation of the players. But hey,
that was the nicest way that anyone's ever said to another person that was a bad trade. But if you're happy with it, that's all that matters.
And absolutely 100%. So Scott, thank you so much for being with us again tonight. We are going to do a Patreon thing, and we were going to talk a little bit about the DFB if you'd like to stick around and do the Patreon with us.
Sure.
All right, great. Is there anything you want to tell everybody before we head out? Where can they find you and everything, you know, obviously?
Oh, sure. Follow me on Twitter at Scott Barrett DFB. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Where can they find your work?
Always love them.
ProFootballFocus.com/fantasy.
Awesome.
When you get to Scott's level, you don't even have to tell people where you work. People know.
Exactly. And he's got like, what, 20,000 times more followers than we have anyway. So thank you very much, Scott. And before we wrap up the show, we got to hear from the Scouting Academy.
Scout NFL football like a pro. Invest in yourself and get a degree in player evaluation and assessment from the Scouting Academy. They've educated NFL GMs, personnel directors, and dozens of NFL scouts. Enroll today and you'll watch the same game tape NFL coaches watch. You'll learn to look past the metrics with position-by-position analysis. This is a time-tested curriculum, a chance to learn from the NFL execs and coaches. Sign up today and get a Dynasty Football Factory exclusive discount for a limited time only. Save $50 when you sign up at DynastyFootballFactory.com.
So if you were watching the NFL Combine this weekend, or you know, even tonight on your DVR, and you were shocked by some of the things you've seen, the lack of agility from some players, the amazing 40 times from other players. If you had gone to the Scouting Academy, chances are you wouldn't have been shocked. You would have expected these things. So what you want to do is go on the DynastyFootballFactory.com, find the link for the Scouting Academy, hit that, John, and save yourself $50 on their next semester. Yes. It's a great thing. We got someone going through it now. I forget who, but Jason D'Arienzo, name really pronounced incorrectly, from the Debbie Watch. Yeah, him. From the Debbie Watch podcast, went through it, man, and he just touts it all the time. So check it out and go save yourself some coin.
Cool. I know, Jeremy, there was one thing that you wanted to talk about was our store, because we actually forgot to mention it last week. So, Jeremy, you want to talk about the store?
We have to remember to mention it. We do have a store, Dynasty Trades HQ. You can find us at dthq.storeenvy.com. We have the link available on Twitter and on our Patreon page, so you can visit the store. But the cool thing about it is we have products like you can't imagine. T-shirts, hats, we have everything that you can think of, mugs, all that stuff, with our logo. And now we finally are available to sell things with embroidery. We've got a really cool logo we had custom made for us specifically for embroidery. So, you know, you want a cool polo shirt with that on it, or a stocking hat, a skull cap, whatever. Lots of products out there, but especially t-shirts. just now, this week, we have new t-shirts, and they have the slogans that our crazy Shane Manila has coined over the years, such as Trade Alert and Trash Dynasty Trade Offer. You can get those with the hashtag right at the top of the shirt with our cool logo. Just check out our store at storeenvy.com. Visit our Twitter account for more information.
But real quick.
It's always real quick.
I will say that I definitely coined the Trash Dynasty Trade Offers. That's mine. That's my hashtag, and anyone tries to claim that shit, I'm coming for your throat.
From day one.
I don't think I coined the trade alert. The only thing I did with that, though, is yell about it.
I think you're right. And
our
show
has made it our own. And
so, I don't want people to think like I'm claiming intellectual property. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if I were, it wouldn't be that.
Yeah. But if somebody ever compares you to an intellectual, we need to capitalize on that every time.
And, that is true. That's since day one you were saying that. But, speaking of the store and speaking of our iTunes account, we ask everybody to give us a rate and review and download us and check us out over there. But we did mention that once we hit 75 reviews, we were going to give somebody a $25 store credit with our store. And we've hit the 75 reviews. So, Shane.
That's a lot of reviews.
What did you say, Shane?
I said, mother.
Bleep, bleep.
So we're gonna do something with the $25 store credit. And how are we gonna do that, Shane?
I don't know. I didn't think that far. I only wanted to get the reviews.
Well, we need to get the winner, and then we'll just give them the $25 credit at the store. That's I'll handle the $25 credit part. You guys pick the winner.
Okay.
I don't do things like this because I don't know how to.
Okay. All right. Forget it. I'll do it.
Michael, let's do it.
And we'll announce the winner next week.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I'll do it, and we'll announce the winner next week. So thank you so much to all of our listeners. And if you want to get out there, go download us on iTunes and whatever podcast app or software or whatever you use. We're all over the place.
No, just Podbean and iTunes because those are the ones that matter.
Okay, then just Podbean and iTunes. So go check out our website, dynastyfootballfactory.com. You'll find the links to all the other podcasts, all the written content. We now have new ADP stuff over there. Also get the Devi watch. Check out our Twitter account at Dynasty Trades HQ and send us any emails at dynastytradeshq@gmail.com. Thank you very much, guys. This was a really long show, but we hope you enjoyed it, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Take care, guys.
Bye.